Get ready to be inspired and empowered through God's Word as you now listen to the teaching of Reverend Sam Chiaka.
You know that when one comes to Christ, it is the beginning of a new life. It is the beginning of a new life in Christ. One of the meanings of being in Christ, of coming to Christ, is that you have now submitted yourself for God to do His work in. It means from that moment, your Father, because He becomes your Father, takes responsibility for your life. Jesus introduced God to us as Father. Father means one, source. It means your source. It means your origin. It means your provider. It means your protector. Jesus introduced God to us as our Father. Jesus taught us that we ought to view God as our Father, not a taskmaster, not some wicked fellow who is, as it were, having a koboko waiting for you to make a mistake and then he will trash you. Jesus paints a picture for us. He wants us to see a loving Father who cares for you, who wants the best for you, who sees you, your success, as His. God wants to be successful with your life. Of course, God is successful. God is everything that good is. But He seeks to manifest an aspect of His goodness through your life. For every one of us here, we all represent an aspect of God that the world does not know. In other words, for every person, God is seeking an expression of Himself. In other words, for all of us, there is a deposit, a part of God. You know, God, you cannot exhaust Him. You cannot know Him all. For every one of us, there is a side of His goodness that He not only wants to reveal to you, but that He wants others to know by seeing you that He is a good God. In other words, your life is God's trophy. God wants to show Himself that He is good through you. The things you desire, the good that you desire, the blessings you are praying for. Let me tell you this. The good things you are looking for are also looking for you. The thing you think is too big, too high, too great, I don't know whether I'll be able to ever get it, it's also coming back to you. It's also looking for you. Jesus said, Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Jesus taught it in a way that everybody said, is it that simple? Really it is. Really, it is that simple. Really, it is that uncomplicated. Actually, we complicate God, make Him so difficult, so unapproachable, so tough, so wicked, that in our minds we are running away from God. A lot of people are running away from God in their minds. A lot of people don't go to church. They don't go in a place where they worship Him, where they serve Him, because they don't want to be stressed, because we have presented a wrong God. A God that is mad, angry, difficult to please. Anything you do is angry, is offended, and He wants to trash you, and they present that kind of God. But that is not the kind of God Jesus presented to us. John tells us God is love. He that knows God walks in love. The truth is that the reason why people do things that are not of love is because they do not have a grasp on the revelation of God who is Lord. Every man is a picture of the God who he believes in. Every man mirrors what he thinks God is. When you think God is wicked, when you think God is mad, he's angry at your mistakes and he wants to punch you. You become that way. You want to call a God to kill people, whereas that same God died to save people. You want to pray for people to die because you don't know God. There are two things you can do with wicked people. There are two things you can do with people whom you think know not God, with people whom you think walk in darkness, with people who offend you, with people whom you think are against God. That's two things you can do. Number one is to call God to kill them. You can call Holy Ghost fire to consume them. You can proclaim death, command death, command accidents, anything to finish them and top it up in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, the name Jesus, you know, Jesus was not called Jesus when he walked on the earth. You know, what was he called? Yeshua, right? Yeshua. The name Yeshua is the name for the Jewish name for God, and it says he saves. Yeshua saves. So when you say Yeshua, if you were to translate that in English, it's the Hebrew name for God and say he's the one who saves. That is, Yahweh saves. In other words, the name of Jesus, the point of the name of Jesus is how he is mighty to save, not to kill, not to destroy. He saves. Jesus said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come, that you might have life, that you might have it abundantly. He said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save those that are lost. So he has one assignment, to save. So you can either pray for people to be destroyed, for people to be killed, for people to experience wrath, or you can do another thing. Glory to God. The person is a witch, is a wizard, is an occultist, is a killer, and so on and so forth. You can do any of those two things. Glory to God. So, you can do any of these two things. You can kill them with prayer. You can even add fasting. Or you can do what Jesus did. The Son of Man did not come but to seek and to save. Thank you, Jesus. To seek and to save. To seek and to save. You know, in the Christian faith, one of the things that is upheld is the virtue of forgiveness and forbearance. Forgiveness means you have done wrong, I see your wrong, and I choose not to punish you because of your wrong. Forbearance means I have forgiven you ahead of time. It is a part of forgiveness that even before you sin, it is taken care of. I don't see it anymore. It's Christian virtue. So, you can do the other thing. Look at what the other thing. I read it to you last week. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go back there. You see the alternative, what you can do. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. He says, in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20 now says, look at verse 20. What does he say? Now then, so therefore, because of this, we are what? Ambassadors. ambassadors for Christ. So that's another thing you can be. You can either be one, you can be called a prayer warrior that destroys people for their evil because they are wicked. Or you can be an ambassador that draws the wicked to Jesus. Do you know anybody can kill? You don't have to be good to kill. It doesn't take much to kill. Do you know that no matter how old you are, you can be 50 years, do you know you can be killed by a 10-year-old? Do you know? You can be killed by a 15-year-old. You can be 50 and be killed by... It's easy to kill. It's easy to kill. It's easy to bring destruction. You don't need any skill to be able to bring down a building. You don't need much skill to know how to destroy clothes, destroy things. It takes skill to build. It takes excellence. It takes mastery. But it doesn't take much to destroy. This is what you can do with human life. My question to you is, what are you doing with human life? If God is good, if He loves us so much, then He wants everyone to know about Him. Too many people have a wrong image of God. Many people have images of God that is foreign to Him. It is said that God has made man in His own image. For many people, the reverse has become the case. They have made God in their own image. The God that a lot of people serve is the God of their wicked hearts. Is the God of their terror. Is the God of their unforgiveness. Is the God of their anger. Is the God of their malice. So you are angry at somebody, you now think God too should be angry. You think God is like Nigerian police, is first to report that is right. So because you are in church shouting, oh God, finish him, oh God, kill him, oh God, scatter him, it doesn't mean you are the one right. Do you know that everyone, for every enemy you have, somebody else considers you an enemy? Am I right? There's a, just like you think somebody is an enemy, somebody else thinks you an enemy. Just as, no matter how good you are, you will be a villain in another person's story. Somebody else will have a bad understanding of you, will misunderstand just the same way you misunderstand certain people. And you will hear of them. If your bad ideas of people push you to be praying for their destruction, for their death, you don't know the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't do that. He says, we are now ambassadors for Christ. In other words, we are now to cooperate with Jesus to save people, not to destroy them. Okay, so what will you now achieve when that person has been doing charms to kill you, now dies by accident? How does that add anything to you? At least the troubler of my soul is dead. Blood of your soul. The trouble of your soul is the hatred in your heart. The trouble of your soul is the malice in your heart. The trouble of your soul is the unforgiveness, is the principles of God that you chose not to walk in. That's the enemy of your soul. Soul is your enemy. As far as men are concerned, God has only one desire for man: to save. God will not, because you have an issue with another person, become wicked to that person. It's not your God alone. The same right you have to that God is the same right that person you are praying that he should die has to that God. Do you understand? If you think you have 100% right to him, that person too has, there's nothing you can do about it. And if somebody offends you now, you are offended. You are angry. And you go home and you say, oh God, deal with that person. You see what the person did? And the person goes home. Well, first off, sometimes your offense is just because you have an offensive heart. You know that same person could have done the same thing to another person and the person doesn't take offense. But you took offense. Many times your offenses are relative to you. You chose to be offended by such things. Now let's assume truly something that is something bad, and then you have a right to be offended. All right, okay. Do you know that same person can go to that same God you want to call to kill him and say, what I did was wrong. How do I solve this? Or do you know that person may even not be aware? Just the same way you have hurt people without being aware. You, are you aware? Do you agree that you have offended people without being aware? Are you aware? Why do we make the whole world about us? Why do we make God about us and about our pettiness? We go to church because we are looking to hurt somebody. Church to hurt somebody? Where did you get that from? It was never intended to be like that. Our gathering. Look what the apostles did. I want to show you an instance. Go to the book of Acts. I'm going somewhere. Please come with me. I will read you something in Acts chapter 4. In verse 13, it says that now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were learned men and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Jump to verse 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, and it speak henceforth to no man in this name. And he called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Jump to verse 21. So when they had fought him, they let them go. In the earlier part of it, you see that they were punished, and then they let them go. Now jump to verse 23. The Bible says, and being let go, they went to their own company. So let me just touch on what's happening here. The apostles were arrested for preaching. Scourged means flogged. Alright? Flogged bitterly. And when they had punished them like that, they warned them, if we catch you doing this again, preaching in the name of Jesus, in the name of this man, you'll be in trouble. And being let go, the Bible says they went to their own company and they called for a prayer meeting. Let me tell you the kind of prayer meeting we should have called if it is in our day. The prayer point will go like this. Oh God, my Father, all these people that are stopping us from preaching in your name, punishing us for nothing, we did not steal. We didn't kill anybody. All we did was to preach. My Father, ensure your fire destroys them. You know, something like that. Something like that, right? That's what we would have preached. I want you to see their prayer point. Go. They went to the company and reported all the chief priests and the elders that said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice. Did you go for a prayer meeting? Yes, they prayed. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made the heaven and earth and the sea and all in them there is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why do the heathen rage, the people imagine the vain, and the kings of the earth took against the rulers took counsel against the Lord and against his Christ. Honor the truth, thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And this is their prayer point. Grant unto thy servants that with boldness we may do what? We may speak thy word. No, not that they die. Look at their prayer points. By stretching forth thy hand to heal. You should be praying that they die in sickness. No, he said, no, give us more power to heal. Stretch your hands. Let us demonstrate your healing power. Watch you. That signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Verse 31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken. Then they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They were threatened. They said, God, help us to preach stronger. Help us to show your power better. Not to kill them, to heal them. This is the spirit of Christ. Two prayer points you can do for a witch. Kill him or kill her or save her. Paul said, if our gospel be hid, 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, 4. He says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds. God will rather have you to see evil people as those in captive. See the real enemy as the devil. Somebody say, we are praying. No, we are not praying that human beings should die. We are praying that the demons should die. But demons don't die. At least not yet. The devil doesn't die. At least not yet. So who is the person that should die? Who can die in the equation? It's human beings. But he tells you that is not what you ought to do. You are an ambassador. You know, a long time ago, I happened to be in a room where they introduced me to someone. They said he's a witch. They said everybody, actually boy, so he's not really a witch. So what's the name for a boy? Okay, so they said nobody can stay in this room. Anytime you stay in this room, you have, they said, you have marks, you have all these kind of things. You'll be being oppressed. So they knew it has been a occurrence that everybody left the room. They are still praying for his deliverance. I said, that's the room I want to sleep in. So we eventually ended up sleeping in the same room. Well, to cut a long story short, there was no mark on my body. There was no all those things, those occurrences. But the goal, why I really wanted to stay there with him, is because I wanted to have the opportunity to share the gospel. Why do they call you a wizard? Are you truly one? And then I began, do you know Jesus died for you? And I shared the gospel. By the time we had done in the morning, he was born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and speaking with tongues. All this while they were there, wasting time, praying for witches and doing all those things, you could have shared the gospel. The witch too needs salvation. The same Jesus who died for you, died for witches, who died for wizards, died for juju priests, died for everybody. You don't have a different Jesus. It's the same Jesus. He cares for all of us. And he paid for all our sins. He paid for your sin. He paid for my sin. And all sin joined, including the sin of witchcraft and sorcery. He paid for all of it. Why is it that Christians say, he's a witch. Bring holy water. What is wrong with you? Share the gospel. Are you afraid? What are you scared of? Don't you know who Jesus is? Why can you say Christ in me, the hope of glory, and you are afraid of witches and wizards? How can you say you have the Holy Spirit and you are running away? What happened to the gospel? What happened to... Do you think they don't need Jesus? He has made us ambassadors. He gave us an assignment. All of us can preach the gospel. All of us can minister to the lost. All of us can bless people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's very easy. It's very simple to do. Look at Jesus. Jesus is going on his everyday journey. And so he moves. One evening, he knew that he would see a woman by the well. So he tells his boys quickly, because they are Jews, so he knows they will have issues with him talking to a woman. So he quickly say, come on boys, go get some food. So they went to get food so he could have time with this woman. This woman is known to have had 5 husbands. Okay, now this is her secret. I think that she's been, when she marries in this place, the husband, that one did not work, and she will, you know, run away from that side and will go to another place. Because according to their law, a woman was kind of a man's property. So if you had a man, the woman is the man's property. In that way, that's the way they treated women. And so if the man gets tired of you, can put you away, according to the law of Moses. And so she had 5. Jesus went to her and said, woman, can I have some water to drink? She said, well, you don't have anything to fetch. Because she doesn't expect that he would take water from her. Because she's in Samaritan. And Jesus said, well, if you knew who is talking to you, you would ask me for water. And I'll give you water that if you drink, you'd never be thirsty again. You might say, I'm even tired of coming to this world to fetch water every day. Please give me that water so I don't have to come here again to fetch water. Jesus said, actually, the water I will give you, it will spring up into everlasting life. He said, but wait, who do you think you are? The people who our fathers dug this well for us, Jacob, you know, and Isaac. He says, they dug the well and they needed water. And you are saying you will give me water? Well, if you know how the conversation went, Jesus said, all right. Because the woman said, give me this water so that I will drink. Jesus said, well, go call your husband. And you see what Jesus is doing? He engages in a conversation with her. And in that conversation, he brought the news about the gospel and began to talk about water. He used what she was doing at that point and introduced the water of life. Praise the Lord. Jesus is going. So from there, he preaches the gospel. Jesus is going. He sees another man by the tree waiting for him. Jesus understands how to talk to him. Said, actually, I'm coming to your house. I'm coming to your house. And so he went to his house. The man was so excited. Such a great man. Came to my house. Jesus found a way to share the message of salvation to people. He has given us this ministry. We must do that. Praise the Lord. You must find a way to show people the goodness of God. Sometimes somebody comes to you and complains things that are going on in their life. That is an opportunity for you to present Christ to them. Present Christ. Present the gospel. That is an opportunity for you to bless that soul. The gospel is so simple that we think, some of us think, it is insufficient. The news that Jesus paid for all our sin. If he paid for our sin, it means that God has no record of sin against us anymore. Once we accept that which Jesus has done for us. As simple as that. You save people from the claws of condemnation. Of Satan from the grip of hell by sharing the gospel of salvation. Now, I'm not saying go and you have to be a super spiritual Christian to do this. No, it's a simple news that Jesus died for us and that he has taken our sin. Simple. He has taken our sin. He has paid for our sin. He has paid for our sin. Jesus has paid for our sin. I don't think God will hear my prayer anymore. I don't think Jesus has paid for our sin. Hallelujah. People are living with the weight of condemnation of their sin. They think God is angry at them. God is mad at them. A lot of people are carrying the heavy weights, think that they cannot serve God. That God doesn't need them. That God cannot use them. That God cannot do much with them. Because they have done too many wrongs. Jesus has paid for our sin. It's as simple as that. Jesus has paid for our sin. Ephesians chapter 2. He did not send us to destroy people. He sent us to save them. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. The two things you can do. Either seek to destroy men's life. Maybe justly so because they have done wrong to you. Or you can still save them. The Son of Man did not come to destroy. Don't join the party of those trying to destroy men's life. Join the Jesus party. Alright? But Elijah called fire from heaven and destroyed people. Don't join the party of those trying to call fire to destroy people. Join the party of the one who is saving them. Be a part of the problem. I mean, a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Because you too need Jesus. Therefore, give people Jesus. Give them the mercy of Jesus. Alright? Ephesians chapter 2, see what it says. In verse 8, I read verse 8 into verse 9. For by grace are ye saved. Through faith, even the faith is not your own. It is the gift of God. Not your efforts. So you cannot even boast. You cannot say, I am righteous, I am the best, I am this, you know how I live holy life? Do you know? Now, we say you should live holy life, but it cannot be your boast because you are also living by grace. All of us live by grace. None of us are beyond mistakes. But Jesus calls us to walk in His grace. Just the same way you have received His grace, give His grace to others. Don't condemn others. And the best way to do it is to share the gospel of what Jesus has done. Share the gospel of what Jesus has done. He says, not of works, lest any man should boast. By grace are we saved. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. It is the gift of God. It's not salary. Gift, not wages. Gift is like the word dash. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You don't even deserve it. But it gives it to you anyway. It is the gift of God. The wages of sin is death. That is, the true penalty for our evil, our wrongdoing, is death. But God doesn't give us what we deserve. But the gift of God is eternal life. Somebody say hallelujah. Therefore, let's share the gospel. Tell everybody. Tell them that God can use them. That they can serve God. Tell them they don't need to be running away from God. Do you know why a lot of people are running away from serving God and running to excessive intake of alcohol? Why a lot of people are running from serving God and running into the clubhouse? Why a lot of people are running from... So a lot of people are even afraid of their own presence. They can't stay alone. They can't stay in silence. They have to be in noisy place. There has to be noise going on because they have to be continually distracted from their own conscience. Because when you stay by yourself, after a while, you start hearing yourself. You start hearing your conscience. So they don't want it. It's either they are sleeping or this place is boring. See, please, somebody should do something. They cannot be quiet. What are you running away from? If you knew that He's no longer holding us for our sin, but He has paid by His blood, by the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, we should share that same message to other people. And let them know that God is no longer mad at you, waiting for you to sin, to trash you and to deal with you and to condemn you and to say He cannot use you. Never. 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 Hallelujah. The same Jesus is the same Jesus who died for all of us. And if somebody says, no, my own is better than you. Your own sin is worse. So you need full Jesus. I need half Jesus. Does it make sense? The same Jesus. It's not our hell. There's no hell part one, hell part two. There's no deeper hell, shallow hell. Hell is hell. Is that correct? So you cannot say, I'm trying. You're trying, that gets you nowhere. It's like telling me, I want to repair a windscreen, the windscreen of a car. So somebody threw stone and one side is broken. And the one that is totally shattered. Somebody said, no, my own, just this side is broken. Can you? No. Whether it's shattered or one side, there is only one thing that can be done: replacement. Everything has to be removed, another has to be put. That's what Jesus did for us. You can't say my own sin is small. That small is enough to take you to hell. And the hell is the same. For the one has done 100% sin and the one has done only one, hell is hell. And the Jesus who died for, you think your own sin is 1% and the one who died 100%. The same Jesus, was the same sacrifice, what is needed. You better rely on the grace of Jesus alone. In spite of your mistakes, you rely on His grace alone. His grace is what is sufficient to put you through, to help you do better. As long as you are running away, thinking you have to cleanse yourself before you can do the work of God. You have to go and clean yourself first. You can't clean yourself. Jesus must cleanse you by His blood. You can't help yourself. Praise the Lord. Therefore, we must begin to share the gospel. We must let people know what He has done. We must share the gospel of salvation of Jesus Christ. That His blood is what paid for our sin and not our actions. And His blood alone is able to make us walk right the way we ought to. You must rely on His blood alone and not on your own works. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just lift your hands and came. Every day as you go out, there is always somebody you can share the gospel with. Every day in your walk, there are conversations that will come up. You can always share Jesus. You can always tell them about Jesus. Jesus is the answer to the problem of man. Jesus is the answer. That we will present Jesus to our world and let them know. He loves them so much, He paid. He paid. Hallelujah. He paid. Thank Him for what He did for you. How He saved you. How He saved you.
This message was brought to you by the Father's Family Mission International. For more information on our ministry schedule, how you can partner with us, or to download more edifying messages free of charge, visit www.thefathersfamily.org.ng. God bless you.